Psalm 78. Psalm 78. That might sound familiar. We were in Psalm 78 this morning as Brother Doolittle preached out of Psalm 78. But if you're like me, as he was preaching out of Psalm 78, the Lord was speaking to your heart out of Psalm 78. And I wrote down some things this afternoon that I want to share with you from God's Word. Psalm 78, I'm going to read verses 5 and 8, but verses 7 and 8 will be the main text for tonight, and we'll look at several different verses, so be ready to either jot these down or to turn with me to these separate verses that we're going to be in tonight. But starting at Psalm 78 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for just the privilege and blessing we have to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you for the safety you gave your people as they traveled in. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time. Father, we don't take it lightly. We don't want to walk away not having heard from you. And Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that Father, you'd have your way with us tonight, that, Lord, we would walk away knowing that we have spent time in the presence of the Lord among God's people. Father, I ask that you would guide us according to your will through the scriptures. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that, Father, you would encourage those that may be watching via live stream, that may watch other services later at some other time. Lord, it's all for your honor and glory, and it is for Jesus Christ to be lifted up and people to be drawn to Christ, lives to be changed, people to have their focus reset back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for having spoken to my heart this morning through the service and ask that you would continue to speak through our hearts this evening. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. I was asking Brother Doolittle just before the service if he wanted to preach or he wanted me to preach. And he said, "You preach because I want to hear some preaching." And I'm thinking to myself, well, I do too. But again, I was glad to be sitting in the service this morning because even though God has allowed me the privilege of being a pastor and being a preacher, I still like being preached to. I still like hearing from God through the men of God. And just as the Lord spoke to my heart this morning through Psalm 78, I want to share this with you tonight because I kind of gave the message two titles. The first one is that they might set their hope in God, which is verse number 7. But then I was thinking about keeping a steadfast hope, because we need to keep our hope steadfast in the Lord in these last days. Not just hanging on for dear life, but really having our hope fixed upon the Lord so that we can continue living the life that he's given us, continue being the testimony that he wants us to be, to continue just even helping others to even have a reason to ask the hope that lies within us, as the Bible talks about. And the Lord is just so good to speak to us and so good to use us. And I thank the Lord that he uses all of us in different ways, but it's all for his glory. It's all for the furtherance of his kingdom, and he's allowed us to be a part of it. But tonight, I do want to encourage us in keeping a steadfast hope, obviously, in the Lord. In verse number 7, the psalmist says that they might set their hope in God. Again, you read the previous verses talking about we have that awesome responsibility to teach the next generation. Brother Doolittle talked about that, and I won't re-preach his message, but again, we have that because we want the generation that's coming up behind us to see a true faith to follow, a true faith that will help them in their life. because we don't know. I was talking to the men yesterday at the men's breakfast. We have no idea what the future holds. We know it's going to get worse according to the Bible. We have no idea what it's going to be like for the next generation. You know, being 47 years old, I'm still young and not as old as some people. But, you know, when you think about, you know, think about your age, think about your life, the things you've experienced, the hardships and stuff. You know it's going to be hard for the next generation because it's just the world that we live in, but we don't know the extent of it. We don't know how wicked it's going to be for the next generation. And our desire and our responsibility is to help teach that next generation that they can trust the Lord. But at the same time, we can't teach the next generation if our hope has faltered, if we have waned in any way with our hope. So when you think about verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God, I want you to think about the fact that there is blessings when your hope is God. There's blessings when your hope is God. Look at Psalm chapter 40. Keep a finger in 78, but go back to Psalm 40 as we just think about the fact that there are blessings when your hope is God. Again, why would we teach the next generation to set their hope in God? Why would we even encourage people in our own generation to set their hope in God? Because you know people who are struggling. You know people who are afraid, people that are, whether they're saved or not. There are many people gripped with fear, and they've lost hope. And some are putting their hope in the wrong people, in the wrong situations. They're putting their hope everywhere but in God. And if they're looking at us, they're looking at God's people, they're looking at those that really believe the Lord and are following the Lord, then they need to see people that truly have their hope set in the God that they serve, the God that they love, the God that they know loves them and has shed his precious blood for their souls. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." That first part, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now you think about so many blessings in allowing the Lord to be your trust and you putting your trust in the Lord. Number one, there's peace. There's peace in the inner man when the Lord is your trust, when the Lord is your hope. Because you're trusting the one that holds your life in his hands. You're trusting the one that knows the future, the one that can guide your steps, the one that can keep the hedge of protection around you, the one that can use you, and the one that can do great and mighty things in your life. Again, it's not doctors. We can't put our hope in doctors. Oh, we love doctors. We love the fact that they went to school, they studied medicine, they know what they're doing, but again, we're trusting the Lord that God will guide their hands and guide the scalpel and all the things that they do. There's many things in this world that we could easily put our trust in, but the Bible does tell us not to have confidence in man, but to have confidence in the Lord. And again, no matter what happens in life, we all have our different lives. We all have had things to happen in our life, but hopefully we can look back and see the experiences that we've had, and we can see that the Lord has always been there, that the Lord has been with you. Maybe in the midst of the situation, you couldn't see God, you couldn't see what he was doing, but you should be able to look back and say, you know what? I only came through that valley because the Lord was carrying me through that valley. And that helps us to continue to set our hope upon our God because we see his faithfulness. We see the fact that he's always there. He's always watching out for us. As I thought about some things this afternoon and just thought about how good God is and you mentioning hardships in life and just even in the ministry, you know what? There are many things that has happened since I went into the ministry, that first question would have been, man, is this the devil? Or is this God telling me that I am not supposed to be here. You know, I've told you about, you know, our engine blowing up on the way to work in Wisconsin. The time that, you know, I fell through the ceiling. Some of you probably don't know that, but there was a time where I was above the sanctuary of the church and missed my step and went through the ceiling and dropped 12 feet and shattered my left heel, laying there on the floor waiting for the paramedics, my foot on fire. I mean, it's not just a pain you've never experienced before. And God was so good that he helped me to sing a song. I mean, just the joy of the Lord was in my heart. I won't mention names, but there were family members that were just freaking out. They were like, you know, because, you know, dad is on the floor. They don't know, you know, laying between two pews. And I'm just sitting there singing my favorite scripture song, Psalm 48. And it just reminds me, as I was sitting there this morning thinking about all the hardships in life, we all experience different hardships. But you know what? Even in the hardships, when your hope is set in God, there's a new song in your heart that comes out during those difficult times. I want you to look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse number 5. Again, my hope tonight is that all of us, all of God's people, would keep a steadfast hope. No matter what happens in life, no matter the trials you face, that you would keep your hope set in the Lord. In Psalm 62 and verse 5, the Bible says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." You notice how the psalmist says, "my soul." He speaks to himself and says, "my soul, wait thou only upon God." Sometimes we have to tell ourselves, just settle down, just wait for the Lord. He's on the way. He sees you. He knows exactly what you need, and he will come through, because if God be for us, who can be against us? Again, our hope being in the Lord. I want you to look at Psalm 130. Psalm 130 and verse number 7. There are blessings when your hope is in the Lord. Psalm 130 and verse 6 and 7. Psalm 130, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. You understand? There are those that are just, they're hoping for the break of day. They're hoping for the night to be over. You know, when Paul was a prisoner on the Roman ship, headed to Rome as a prisoner, and they had had that storm for many days, and the Bible says for 14 days, the sun had not shone. All the men had lost hope. They had no hope whatsoever. The experienced sailors, the master of the ship, they said, "This is it. We've never been in a storm like this. It's over. It's done." Yet Paul is the one that encourages over 200 men, "Take bread. Let's eat. Because the Lord spoke to me tonight. There's not a single person that's going to die. The ship will be broken up, but every life will be saved." Paul had enough hope to encourage 200 grown men to take meat, to be encouraged. There are those, again, that have given up in life. They're just waiting for things to change. But we as God's people should be waiting on the Lord. Verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." Just reminds me, you know, there's plenty of mercy with the Lord. In our lifetime, we've messed up, we've made mistakes, but God is so merciful to continue to help us and to remind us, you know, there's plenteous redemption. God has redemption for every single person. You know what? Why are we still here? Why hasn't he just taken us home? Because there are those that need to see a life that has been changed, a life that is still being used by God. People still need to see that, you know what? There are people that really believe in this living God, Jesus Christ. They need to see a life that really exemplifies that, and a life that testifies that, you know what? If God can help me, he can help you as well. Look, one more place before we go on. Psalm 146. Psalm 146 and verse number 5. Psalm 146 and verse number 5. And one of the blessings of setting your hope in the Lord is the first word of verse number 5, happy. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Notice the words, whose hope is in the Lord his God. It's personal. Not a God, not the God, but his God. It's personal. My God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. A wonderful blessing of setting our hope in the Lord is, yes, there may be a storm raging around us, but there's joy on the inside because we're with the master of the storm. That's who Paul was with on a ship, though there was a master of the ship that even Paul even told them, hey, I suspect that this journey is going to be with much hurt because it was a time of winter, it was a time of storms, and yet the master of the ship said otherwise. The Roman centurion, all of those, believed the master of the ship instead of the one who was walking with the master of the storm. But again, Paul trusted in the Lord. He had hope in the Lord, and he was happy. I can always think about when Paul is sitting in that prison cell. I mean, it's just something that has been just on my mind this entire year. Last year, 2020, Paul is sitting in prison at midnight, being beaten for his faith, where most people would, you know, be upset. They would be thinking, you know what, this God business, this faith, this just isn't worth the beating. It's not worth the hardship. It's not worth the rejection. It's not worth the things that I've been enduring. And yet we find Paul at midnight with Silas. Listen, this is why it's important that we fellowship. This is why it's important that we don't isolate ourselves from one another. And I'm talking about Christians isolating themselves from Christians. Is because we need the encouragement. You know, you find Paul and Silas in the prison at midnight singing and praying. Singing and praying at midnight. Now, I have no doubt that Paul would have done it by himself anyway. You just read the life of Paul, and no doubt Paul had a walk with God. But you know what? It's something to it when there's somebody else. And two people are praising the Lord. Two people are rejoicing in the Lord. In the same trial, yet they're both are rejoicing, they're praising the Lord. And obviously, like I always like to say, God chimed in with the bass note, and he rattled that prison. And what happened? Because of the hope that Paul and Silas had. And it wasn't just a secret hope, it was a hope that was expressed. The Philippian jailer gets saved, along with others in his household. There's blessings when you set your hope in God. Go back to Psalm 78 and look at the second part of verse 78. Verse number 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. It's very important. We are to set our hopes in God, but we're not to forget his works. What helps us to set our hope in God? What helps us to keep a right focus when we remember the things that he's already done? Obviously, you know, never forget the day that the Lord came into your life, that the day that you heard the salvation message and your life was changed because your faith was put in on Jesus Christ. I mean, I remember the day, and many of these things were flooding my mind this morning. I just remember my life being changed, and honestly, the next day, it just seemed like the birds were singing a lot louder, the sky was a lot bluer, and just life seemed like, wow, you know, this is great. But what happens? Life continues, right? Life continues, and if we're not careful, we can forget the greatness of God. Now, praise the Lord, he is great to save us. He's great to draw people to himself, to show us that we're in need of a Savior. But it doesn't stop there, does it? We've got to keep our hearts set upon the Lord. We've got to keep God as the center of our life. And we cannot forget all the things that he's done in our life because it helps us to keep that right focus. Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77 and verse 10 through 12. Psalm 77 verses 10 through 12. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Now that really encompasses a lot. It's not just what God's done in our life, but obviously you think about what he's done really in the whole scheme of things and in life in general from the beginning till now. In fact, just, you know, I am an environmentalist. Not like the world, but I love nature. I love the things that God has created. I love everything that God has given us, but I don't worship the trees. I worship the one who created the trees. When you look at just, again, like I said that day, sometimes life can cause us, situations can cause us to lose the focus on the beauty of the things that God's created. Because you know what? When I look at nature, when I look at the universe, I look at the planets, I look at the stars, all the vastness of what God's created, it reminds us of how powerful he is. That he spoke it all into existence. He spoke the planets into existence. Even just that little phrase, he created the stars also. You know, at the end of creation, just that little phrase, he created the stars also. He just kind of flung them up there. But when it came to man, he formed man out of the dust of the ground with his own hands. And then he breathed life into that lifeless body. It became a living soul. Think about your life. Think about how precious you are to your Savior. Think about how precious you are to God, that he is so involved in your life, keeping the heart pumping, keeping the lungs filled with oxygen. When you go to sleep at night, you're hoping you're going to wake up the next morning. You don't know. And then when your eyes pop open to a new day, it's a blessing from the Lord. Just everything that he does in our life, don't allow circumstances and situations in your life to suck the joy of the Lord out of your life. Again, when you think about all the things that he's done, as you go back and you think about Psalm 77, where the psalmist says, this is my infirmity. These are the things in my life. This is my struggle. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. You know what? I'll remember what God's already done. Because you know what? What if God doesn't do another good thing for you? What if God doesn't bless you anymore? Honestly, he's already done so much, right? And sometimes God holds blessings from us when we're not praising him for what he's already done, when we're not thankful for what he's already done in our life. He's already done so much, yet he wants to do more, and he does more, and I praise the Lord for that. But in order for us to keep our hearts set on the Lord, to our hope to be set in the Lord, we have to remember what he's already done. We have to look at the past and go, you know what? God's been so faithful to me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who will guide me through tomorrow. And that is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse number 2. Psalm 103 and verse number 2. You know, back to verse number 1. Actually, we're going to read a few verses here. Psalm 103, look at verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, there's no period there, is there? So it continues on. For all his benefits, what benefits? What benefits? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with gold and silver and rubies? Some people think the blessing should be gold, silver, rubies, things that are tangible, things that, you know, will make them wealthy and make them popular. But the greatest blessing and the greatest crown that you and I can have of the Lord is His loving kindness and tender mercies. Never forget that, you know what? I found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He saw me where I was and did not keep me there. He did not let me stay in that miry clay and in that pit. He lifted me up and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. What a wonderful Lord and Savior that we have. Number five, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't forget all His wonderful benefits that He has done in your life. One more place, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 24. Because there is an ordinance that the Lord gave the church to keep. Because it reminds us of something. And we look back at experiences in life. It reminds us of the goodness and the faithfulness of God to us and to our life. The fact that He's given us a life to enjoy. He's given us a life to see Him working in it, to walk with us. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, obviously looking at the words of Christ, as Paul was giving the church at Corinth this ordinance that was handed down by the Lord to the churches, he says in verse 24, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Why is the Lord's table so important? Because it reminds us of the sacrifice of our Savior. It reminds us that, you know what, we have not faced what the Lord faced. In fact, He's kept us from that. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life on the cross of Calvary so that we wouldn't have to. Our sins were poured upon Him. Our life has been exchanged for His life. We have His righteousness on us. The one, speaking of me, the one that falls short of the glory of God. The one, there's none righteous, no, not one. The one who deserves separation from God because of being a sinner. Yet the Lord laid down His life. He died on my account. He died on your account. So when you get to thinking that, you know, life isn't worth living. No, life is too hard. No one has the same life that I have, you know. Nobody cares. As a child of God, when you look at the Lord's table, it reminds us. The cup reminds us of the blood that was shed. The bread that's broken reminds us of the body that was broken for us. It reminds you, you know what? God really does love me more than anything else. Because there are people that love us and they'll do things for us. Sometimes people will do things for you to get something in return. What did the Lord get in return for His death at Calvary? People that will reject Him. People that won't be faithful. People that will, at different times, like the disciples, say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, don't you care what's going on in my life? And yet the Holy Spirit of God in us reminds us that He loves you. He showed His love. He manifested His love at Calvary. And it really does draw our heart back to our Savior. You know what? He loves me that much. He was willing to lay down His life. Not just for me, but for every single person. You know what? I can continue on. I can continue on being faithful. I can continue on setting my hope in the Lord. I can continue on being that example and teach the next generation and to allow people to see the hope that lies within me and to ask me, How is it you have so much peace? How is it that you have so much hope and you're not worried about the things that are happening in this world? And we have that great, great open door to tell them about the one that is the Prince of Peace, the one who is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and King of kings. Look back at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. You know, as we set our hope in God, and as we remember all the wonderful things He's done for us, the last part of verse 7 says, keep His commandments. The whole verse says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, keep His word. You know, as you read the word of God, it does remind you of all the wonderful things that He's done. His word is quick and powerful. His word can do what no other book can do. It can bring encouragement into a heart. It can lift a heavy soul. I want you to look with me at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. There are some that wrongly think that it's a heavy burden to follow the Lord. All the do's and the don'ts. But honestly, the Bible tells us, and we're going to read it, where the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. I don't know if you've ever had a heavy heart, and outwardly you did not want to pick up the Bible. You were just so heavy-hearted, you were upset, you were mad, whatever the case is, and you knew it was the right thing, but there was such a struggle that, you know what, I don't feel like reading. But as you gave in to it, knowing it was the right thing, and the Holy Spirit helping you, yet there was still that struggle. As soon as you open up the Bible, there's just something about the Word of God that lifts the spirit. There's something that encourages the heart. It's just something that really breaks through the darkness that sometimes overshadows us. Because again, the Bible does tell us that we are not warring against flesh, but against spiritual principalities, against the darkness, the rulers of this world. In 1 John chapter 5, and you look at verse number 3, the Bible says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. The love of God flowing through us. Look at John chapter 14. Because again, at any given moment in our life, and I'm sure because we're all human, we all have had our struggles. We've all had our shortcomings. We've had our moments in life where we just wanted to give up. But as the Word of God encourages us, it reminds us of the love of God. And it reminds us, you know what? I'm here to show the love of God to others. I'm here to show that, you know what? We do have a loving God. We have a loving Savior who guides us through this life. I love the fact that when you read the words of Christ, and He says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. You want to talk about a Savior who loves you very much. In John chapter 14, you look at verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. John chapter 14, verse 21 and following. Jesus says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Is that the one I wanted, John? Yeah. In verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not the one that betrayed him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now you think about Think about the words of God. Think about the commandments. Again, some people think that when you talk about keeping the commandments of God, oh, I got to keep the Ten Commandments. I got to live a right life. I got to be, you know, I just got to be upright. Can't, as they'll say, can't have fun. But when you think about the commandments, you think about the Word of God, you think about His promises. The Bible tells us that there's torment and fear. And God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Think about when you read the Word of God and it enlightens you. Again, it lifts that burden. It helps us see our focus back on the Lord. It shows us, it reminds us, you know what? God does love me. Now, I love the fact that we have the written Word of God. I'm glad that I'm not living in the days of Job or Abraham. Those that think about Noah, even Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God gave him the blueprint to the ark. God told him to build it. He's going to send rain. And then the Bible, you know, you don't see the Lord talking to him again until he says, okay, now it's time to get into the ark. I'm glad that God's given us something that we can hold and put our eyes upon. But you think about the life of Job. You think about the one trial we see that's in Scripture. What if God were to put one of our trials in Scripture for all generations to see how we did, how we fared through that? I'd beg him, pick somebody else, Lord. I don't want that. You pick somebody else. But think about Job. He didn't know why it was happening. He didn't know the conversation that God had with the devil. He didn't know that the devil was accusing him to God and trying to get God to do harm to Job. And God obviously wouldn't, said, he's in your hands, you just can't touch him. And then when God, the next time, and God takes the hedge of protection down and says, okay, you can touch him, you can, you know, allow him to get sick, but you can't kill him. Job knew none of that. What do we see with Job at the beginning? We see him praising the Lord. After the death of his children, after everything's taken, he says, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And then he encourages his wife later and says, after he gets the boils, he tells his wife, shall we not receive evil and good from the hand of the Lord? I mean, he's reminding his wife that God's in control. So when you think about the commandments of God, you think about his word. To follow the Lord doesn't mean we're going to walk on a bed of roses without thorns. There will be thorns in life. But the Word of God teaches us that the Lord walks with us. And many times the Lord carries us when we're faced with a fiery trial. Because one of my favorite accounts in Scripture, because I didn't have to go through it, was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Facing that fiery furnace that was heated 10 times hotter than it ever had been. All because they were resolved in their hearts. God is able to deliver us. Do you believe that God can deliver you from every circumstance that you face? Sometimes, you know, we look at things in Scripture. We look at, even in this account, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego staying there, literally facing fiery death. And you think, man, they must have been super Christians because they told the king, we're not going to bow. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, because you know what? God's ways are higher than our ways. They knew, they believed God can, he can quench that fire, he can put it out. Yet they said, but if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow. And what happened? What happened because they had such great faith in their God? You know what happened? They got thrown in the fire. Why would God allow that? Why would God allow those men to be thrown in the fire that had such great faith? So that others could see who their faith was in. Because you know the account, you're reading the scripture, when Nebuchadnezzar looks in, he's perplexed. He's like, he's asking his wise men, how many did we throw in? Didn't we throw three in? And they're counting, one, two, three, four. Wait, one, two, three, four. Wait, there's four in there. Right? Nebuchadnezzar says, the fourth one is like the Son of God. See, the reason why God allows us to go into trials is that people can really see who we're trusting in, who we're walking with. And sometimes God allows the trials to help us to see that our faith needs to be stretched. It needs to be strengthened. God never intends to break you in a way that's going to crush your faith. He's always, now, we are the clay in the potter's hand, and he's working on us. He's stretching our faith. He's doing things in our life. But we have to continue to set our hope in God that, you know what, my life is in the perfect hands. My life is in the perfect hands, and God will allow me to come forth as gold, just as Job did. Job went through that trial. Job had his moment where he was telling God he should have never allowed him to be alive. Job even said with his own lips, it would have been better had I never been born. Why? Because he wouldn't have had to go through that trial. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you were in such a trial that you thought to yourself, you know what, if I was not alive, I wouldn't have to go through this. God, why are you allowing me to go through this? And then when you get to the other side of the trial, you see why God allowed you to go through it, and you see that, you know what, God never left you. God was there every step of the way. And God brought you through, and God blessed you on the other side. The blessings in life are not the material blessings, though God does bless materially, and praise the Lord that he provides for us. But the greatest blessing is to continue to have the presence of God in your life, guiding you through this life. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Doesn't mean he takes the trials away, but you know what? You can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of a trial because your focus is on the Lord and he's the one that's guiding you and directing you. Last place I want you to think about. Go back if you would to Psalm 78, and then we're going to jump to Micah chapter 6, and we'll be done. But Psalm 78, look at verse number 8. I'm going to read verse 7, but then we're going to look at verse 8. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, you know, not going through the whole history again of the children of Israel and just their ups and downs with God and how they just, when Moses led them to the promised land, they refused to go in. You had the 10 spies that evilly affected everybody and everybody said, okay, we can't go in. You had the ups and downs. But I want you to see out of verse number 8, they were not humble before their God. They were not humble before their Redeemer, the one who brought them out of slavery and brought them out of bondage and brought them into the promised land. In verse number 8, I see that we need to keep a humble walk with God. A humble walk with God that, you know what? My life depends on the Lord. My every day, my every moment depends upon the Lord. And to have that humble walk, reminding ourselves each day that I can't live this day without the Lord. I can't even make the right decision without God guiding me. And you look at Micah chapter 6, if you would. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Keeping a humble walk with the Lord. It's all about keeping a steadfast hope. If we will humbly walk with the Lord and keep our hearts in tune with his word, and we will continue to remind ourselves of his goodness in our life, all the things that he's done, how great he is, and all the wonderful things he's done in our life, and that we will keep our hope set in the Lord. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, I'm talking and I'm not turning. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. But he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? I want you to look at that last part.
to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with thy God. To love mercy, but to walk humbly with thy God. What does it mean to be humble? What does it mean to have humility? It's to recognize your need and your dependency upon God. It's to remind ourselves that He came to us because we could not come to Him. It's to remind ourselves that He's given us a life to enjoy, but He wants us to enjoy it as we walk with Him. He wants us to keep our hope set upon Him. How many of you are guaranteed of heaven? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. If you want to raise your hand, that's fine, but think about it. How many of you, you know without a shadow of doubt, heaven's your home? How do you know that? How are you guaranteed? Because God sent His only begotten Son to pay the price, to shed His blood for my sin, for your sin. He told His disciples that He was going away. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?" Many people believe in God, but not many people believe in Jesus Christ. And He said, "Believe in God, believe in me also. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So that where I am, there will you be also." I mean, you know that heaven is your home. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible tells us that. So if heaven's my home and God's my heavenly Father, and think about this, as the Bible tells us, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So if we're part of the family of God, then it reasons that every day our hope should be in God. We should never allow ourselves to fear anything in this life, because we are the children of God. We're the children of light. But again, we do have an adversary. We have an adversary that is constantly shooting his fiery darts at us. And what's the number one thing that the adversary is always trying to get out of the minds and the hearts of God's people? He's got the lost. He's got them blinded. But He's trying to get the Word of God. He's trying to get us, God's people, to discredit the power of God's Word, discredit the truth of God's Word, and to lay it down. Because it's the number one thing that Jesus Christ used in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the Bible records that the devil left him for a season. He hates the Word of God. When you set your hope upon God and you set your hope upon His Word, His promises, it reminds us of the goodness of God in our life. It reminds us of His faithfulness, and it helps us to walk humbly with our God. That, you know what? I can humbly walk with God through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear, because He's my shepherd. He's my protector. And He's the one that's guiding me, and He's the one that has a purpose for my life. I want you to go ahead and stand as we close. I want, again, think about just the steadfastness of your hope in God. You might spiritually be strong tonight, but I guarantee you there is room for growth. There's room for drawing closer to the Lord. God has a wonderful, wonderful life for you. And I know you've been enjoying the life that He's given you. I know you've been enjoying the walk with the Lord. But it's not over, and it doesn't have to be over. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that You'd speak to the hearts of Your people, those in the sanctuary, those watching live stream. Father, my words are few. My words are not powerful. My words cannot change people's ideas, can't do anything to their hearts. But Father, Your word can. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move in our hearts. Father, You would draw us close to You, and You would help us, Lord, to be steadfast. Help us, Lord, to grow. Help us, Lord, to enjoy the goodness of God in our life and to really experience the joy of the Lord as we're in Your presence. Thank You, Father, for Your presence in our life, and I thank You. that Jesus said, where two or more gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I thank you, Father, as your people have gathered together tonight. Father, you've been with us. And I pray that each and every single person have heard your voice speaking to their heart. Father, these are things that you spoke to my heart about. And I thank you, Father, for just continue to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear, a heart to receive. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.